Robert Haley stars as Charlie McMahon in The Interrogator.
Why don't you believe me?
I'm just taking your statement.
In the box.
It's private.
The interrogation room is the least private space in this police station.
There's no one here but the two of us.
It's a confessional with a two-way mirror.
Do you feel that you have something to confess?
Yeah. I confess that the head of the sexual offenses squad tried to rape me. What are you going to do about it?
First, I'm going to finish taking your statement.
I already gave you my statement. A bunch of us were down at Joe's doing the TGIF thing. Hughes offered me a ride home. Instead, he took me down to the lakeshore and tried to jump me. I fought him off. He chucked me out of his car. I called in the complaint.
This morning?
That's right.
You should know better than that.
Look, he was a senior officer. I knew what would happen if I called it in.
What would happen?
This would happen. I had to think it over. Come the morning, I knew what I had to do. Look, has he been picked up or what?
He's come in for questioning.
For questioning?
We need to get the facts clear before we proceed. Let's start at Joe's. That is a sports bar frequented by police officers?
Yeah.
Do you spend a lot of time at Joe's?
Where's this going?
I'm just gathering background information.
I know where this is going. I go to Joe's occasionally, less than most. On a really crazy night, I have maybe 3 beers. That's my limit.
How about last night?
What about it?
You had 3 beers?
Yeah.
You're sure?
Yes, I'm sure. I was feeling a bit sick to my stomach, so I switched to Perrier.
I see. You were feeling sick from the beer, so you switched.
Feeling sick had nothing to do with the beer.
Sorry, I thought that's what you meant.
I wasn't impaired.
But you didn't feel well.
Right.
So you asked Detective Hughes to take you home?
No. I was leaving and he offered me a ride. I left the bar around 11. He followed me out and asked which way I was headed. I told him and he said he was going my way.
So you got in his car willingly?
He was a fellow officer, not some stranger with a bag of peppermints.
And in your opinion, was Detective Hughes intoxicated?
I wouldn't have taken a ride if I thought he was intoxicated.
Fine. What happened then?
I already told you.
I need more details.
He took me down to the lakeshore, down by the pavilion. You know the parking lot?
Right. Now, Jolton Joe's is where?
Dundas, east of Dufferin.
And you live in the East End. When did you first notice you were heading west?
As soon as we pulled out of the lot.
Did you say anything?
He told me he wanted me to take a tour.
Take a tour?
He wanted to get a surveillance unit to stake out a motel. Told me he had a case. A serial rapist who was targeting working girls on the Humber Strip.
So, he was talking shop.
That's right.
And you're ambitious enough to want to take a tour.
Look, lady, I'm getting awfully tired of...
It's late at night. The guy pulls into a deserted parking lot. Why?
We cased the motel. Then I told him I wanted to go home. I had a headache. He said, let's get some air.
And this was when? Shortly after midnight?
I'm not sure.
But you went down to the boardwalk.
That's right.
And that's where
we sat down on a bench. He told me he'd been watching me. Said he thought I had a great career ahead of me.
He say why?
Look, I was tired. I don't remember every exact detail of what happened. We talked a while, watched the lights on the water, then I turned to look at him and... He had his zipper down.
Right there in a public place.
It was the middle of the night.
Then what?
I asked him what he thought he was doing. He asked me if I liked it.
And you said?
I stood up and I started to walk away. Then he came after me. Next thing I know, I'm on the ground and Detective Hughes is all over me.
Then what?
He's not in great shape. I heard him. Got up, grabbed my purse out of the car, ran to the nearest motel and got a cab.
You went home?
That's right.
and didn't call in the report until morning.
I already told you...
Because that's the problem, right? You issued your complaint just a little too late for it to be credible.
You don't know. You don't know what it's like.
Don't I?
When you've been sexually assaulted, you don't think straight. Not right after. I was lucky, but I didn't understand what had happened. I couldn't believe it. I was afraid. Why are you doing this to me?
To help you. If we charge Hughes, the defense is going to be all over you. You know that, Constable. I mean, that's mostly why you're afraid, isn't it?
That's part of it, sure. Look, is there anybody on the other side of that glass?
Sounds like you've interviewed a lot of rape victims.
A few. Who's listening to this?
So you know how the story goes.
That's it. I'm out of here.
You're dropping the charges?
No. You've got enough. You all do. Put him away!
I knew you'd be in here.
I have to monitor internal affairs investigations. It's part of my mandate. Besides, I'm watching out for you.
Has she even talked to Hughes?
She took his preliminary statement.
When's he coming in?
Actually, he's in custody already. She's going to interview him next.
This should be good.
Jolene, I can't let you stay in here.
Why not?
You can't listen to his statement.
He's going to lie.
Yeah, everybody lies in the box. That's not the point. You listen to him, you're totally tainted as a witness. You don't want that, do you?
What's the difference? I've already been turned into the criminal.
Get your head together, Constable. You know procedure, and if you let this get personal...
It is personal.
If you let this get personal, what you're afraid is going to happen...
What's that?
What you're afraid is going to happen will. Now get out of here and let internal affairs do what they are paid to do.
Fine.
Oh, man.
Kitchen time clocks.
Charlie, we got a situation. I think I'm going to need your help.
I'm sorry, but we have to go over it one more time.
Not a problem.
So, you went to the bar at...
About 10:30. 22:30. I've been working a case and there was a fellow I wanted to check up on. Met my informant at 10. After figured, Friday night, I earned a beer.
And when you arrived?
Like I say, it was around 10:30. A lot of guys had been there since they came off shift.
So they'd been drinking for...
Up to 5 hours. Not that everybody in the bar was intoxicated, but like I say, it's Friday night.
Right. So, you met Constable Gray at the bar?
Yeah, I was getting a Sleeman's. She was there with that pal of hers, Malcolm.
Constable Fieldstein.
Yeah, the nerdy guy from computer crime. They were both pretty plowed.
Why did you form that opinion?
Good. You forgot to ask me that last time. Well, it wasn't so much him as her. Slurring her words, lots of volume in the vocal, really wanted to dance.
With you?
With anyone. Anyway, I had a couple of beers, was headed home. I go outside, she's trying to flag a cab. Asked me which way I was going.
And you offered her a lift?
Yeah, well, to tell the truth, the way she was weaving around, I figured I'd better get her off that corner ASAP. So she gets in the car. I ask her which way, and she says, go right. So I do.
That's west.
Yeah.
Though she lives in the East End.
I didn't know that at the time. Anyway, she was just giving directions. Left, right, like that. So before you know it, we're down on the lake shore, and she says, pull over.
Did she say why?
She said she was lost. Pull over while she figured it out.
So you pulled into the parking lot.
That's right. Beside the pavilion. I park, and I'm asking her, what's her address? But before I can even get that out, she's out of the cart, half running, half falling, headed for the beach, saying, a swim will clear our heads. A swim.
At this time of year.
Exactly. So I've got to get her back in the car, right? I get out and go after her, catch her down by the boardwalk.
There was no one around?
Thank God. Because by now, she's got her jacket off, and she's pulling off her sweater. So I grab her by the arm, and I say it's time to go home. And then it happens.
I need you to be very clear about this part.
Sure. She says, you don't have to take me home. We can do whatever you want to do right here. Then she throws her arms around me, tries to kiss me. I back off. I'm trying to joke my way out of it, you know. I'm a married man. Anyway, the ground's kind of uneven. I trip and fall backwards.
So, you're on the ground?
That's right. I'm on my back on the ground.
That's a fairly vulnerable position to get yourself in.
I'll say. Especially when you're fighting off an amorous drunk.
You were fighting her off.
Well, it ended up that way. I mean, I'm lying there on my arse in the wet grass, and she's standing over me, half naked. Well, I started to laugh.
You laughed at her?
Well, no, I didn't laugh at her. It was just the situation.
Yeah. Well, hell hath no fury.
No kidding. She went crazy to start putting the boots to me, you know. See here?
That's quite a bruise.
Yeah, she had on these pointy-toed boots. Centimeter to the left, could have lost my eye.
So, you had to subdue her.
At that point, I half wanted to kill her.
You mean that metaphorically, don't you?
Well, how else am I going to mean it? I mean, we got tape rolling, don't we? And Kirk behind the glass?
Funny, this two-way mirror thing doesn't play all that well with cops.
Yeah, funny about that.
Look, all I wanted to achieve was... I wanted to protect myself.
Which is a proper response, as long as you didn't use undue force.
She's coaching him.
Close to it. And you should have heard her go after Jolene.
I didn't. I got a hold of her foot, flipped her onto the grass, and got up.
Anybody check out the crime scene?
I sent a couple of uniforms down there with Jolene. The way it's been raining, you couldn't tell much. CSI may have more later in the day.
And then what?
I got out of there.
Right. Why didn't you report the incident?
Oh, the kid had a couple of drinks too many. I figured, why ruin a reputation and put a blot on a record? We all make mistakes, right?
I don't think you appreciate how serious this is, Detective Hughes.
It's nuts! You know me, Frida. I've got no interest in a damp grass quickie with some pie-eyed rookie.
You
give him my position?
Frida?
Guy's been on the job long enough, we all know him. You included.
She is an attractive woman.
Not my type. And even if I had an interest in Constable Gray, I sure as hell wouldn't risk getting caught with my pants down in a public park.
It's still your word against hers.
Yeah, yeah. Good-looking young girl. Slightly overweight guy who's lost most of his hair. She came on to me? Right.
Look, I'm going to have to proceed with this charge, but if what you're saying is true, I think you have no option but to file countercharges against Constable Gray.
Okay, that's crossing the line.
No, she's right. He's making some serious charges himself. They'll have to be investigated.
Such as?
Common assault, filing a false report, something like that.
I'll consider it. In the meantime, I've got work to do. Unless you've got more questions.
No, that's fine for now. Thanks for your cooperation.
Hey, I've got nothing to hide. And thank you for listening with an open mind.
That person Hughes was describing, that wasn't Constable Jolene Gray.
Tell me about it. We're talking about an officer I'm sure starches her socks.
I've got to talk to Malcolm about Friday night. And Jolene.
Yeah, I would too. Because the way she stormed out of here, you just know there's going to be trouble. And if Hughes launches countercharges, it's going to get very ugly.
Okay. I'll give the kids a call and see if I can...
Yeah.
Hi, Kirk. I wonder if you can set up a meeting with this Constable Fields. Sorry, I don't think we've met.
Charlie McMahon.
Yeah, Charlie, this is Detective Thompson, Internal Affairs. Charlie just dropped in to pick me up. Lunch. Would you...
Sorry, I've got plans. You've worked with Jolene Gray, haven't you?
Well, yeah, we've done a few things together.
And you were listening to my interview with Detective Hughes.
He just caught the tail end as he was coming in.
I see. Well, since you're an old guy, I don't have to caution you not to discuss anything you might have overheard with Constable Gray. It could seriously compromise my investigation.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, Charlie's a soul of discretion.
I couldn't help wonder, though.
Wonder?
When I came in, the detective was telling you he fell backwards, trying to get away from Constable Gray.
That's correct.
And then she started kicking him.
And?
And I couldn't help wondering why you didn't make an effort to get him to turn over the clothes he was wearing that night. Grass stains, mud patterns might help verify the facts.
Or blow his story out of the water.
You're right. I should have picked up on that. I'll contact Detective Hughes this afternoon and ask him to bring in the clothing, and I'll ask Constable Gray to do the same.
Yeah. A case like this, you gotta play it very neutral.
Yes, well, I must be going. It was a pleasure to meet you, Mr. McMahon. We've been following your exploits closely at Internal. It's nice to put a face to the guy who's been doing our job for us.
Hardly.
In this situation, I'll have to insist that you do nothing at all. It's my case, what there is of it.
You don't seem to be convinced that Jolene is telling the truth.
It all comes down to who tells the more convincing story. And your Constable Gray? She's hiding something. I know it.
She was drunk?
What can I tell you? She was having a very good time. It was kind of fun, you know? She even made me dance. And Jolene doesn't dance.
Didn't you think it was kind of weird?
She was having fun. How weird can that be?
Yeah, well, how much did she have to drink?
Well, less than me, that's for sure. But I don't know. We were playing darts, talking to people. I wasn't at her side every moment of the night.
How about Larry Hughes? Was he by her side?
On and off. First at the bar, later they shot some pool. He bought her a beer, I think.
Bought her a beer?
Well, they were shooting pool. Jolene's a shark. He had his name up on the board, so after she destroyed moi, they played, and she won.
And you were playing for beers?
Hey, it's not playing if you're not playing for beers. Anyway, he bought her a beer, asked for a rematch, but she wanted a break, so she gave him the table.
Was she already in her cups at that point?
Not the way she was shooting. It was maybe half hour after that she started to get playful.
Hugh says she was laying it on pretty thick.
So what? Nobody buys into that she really wanted a crap anymore, do they?
You haven't met the internal affairs investigator yet. She claims Jolene's hiding something.
Like what?
I don't know. But Kirk showed me the tape of her statement, and I tend to agree.
We brought blueberry bagels.
What are you guys doing here?
Thought we might be able to do brunch, you know. Drink too much coffee, kick around the details of your latest adventure.
I don't want to talk about it.
As if you have a choice. They want me to come in first thing tomorrow, tell them about your erratic behavior at Joe's.
What?
And by the way, I hope you haven't washed the clothes you were wearing on Friday night.
No, they're in the bin, but...
Good, because it might be an excellent idea to take them into CSI tomorrow.
Why?
Sorry, I can't tell you. But it would be prudent to build up all the evidence you can against this guy.
Because let's face it, sex crimes are his life, and he does not plan to go down for this.
But we have other plans. So tell us what really happened.
What?
What really happened?
I almost got raped. That's what happened.
That's all that happened, right? I mean, if there's something more and you're holding back...
I almost got raped. I fought the guy off. That's it.
You didn't call it in Friday night.
That's not the way you work, Jolene. Talk.
Toast your bagels, Malcolm. I've got someplace to be.
Was it because you get drunk?
It was because in the morning I couldn't remember what happened. Took me half the day to piece it together.
Hold on, Jolene. We have to talk.
I know what's going on, Charlie, and you guys can't help me sort it out.
Where are you going?
To sort this out. Key's on the door. Put it back to the mail slot.
I think that went rather well, don't you?
Splendidly. I've never seen her that rattled.
I'm not surprised. I mean, a blackout? What's wrong with this picture? A three-beer night is wild times for Jolene.
Since when do you black out on three pints of beer?
You don't. I think it was roofies.
Roofies?
What?
A sedative, 10 times stronger than Valium.
Rohypnol.
But that's a date rape drug, isn't it?
No taste, no odor, and a 2 milligram dose, along with a couple of drinks, is enough to push you into oblivion. About 10 minutes after you take it.
Roofies? I never heard Rohypnol called roofies.
I'm not familiar with the nickname.
Well, you need to hang around UOT more. Keep up on your slang.
I'll make a note of that.
So, somebody slipped Jolene a Mickey.
Like maybe Larry Hughes.
So you think Detective Hughes gave Constable Gray a roofie?
He bought her a drink.
So did you.
Yeah, but an hour later. I wasn't in a car with her down on the lakeshore, making my smoothest move.
Of course, we don't have any proof that she was under the influence of the drug.
She was.
That shouldn't be a big deal. What's it take, a blood test?
Yeah, but it is a big deal. Rohypnol is only detectable in the blood for 70 hours after ingestion.
Fine, assuming that can be proven. This is a drug that lowers inhibitions, alters judgment. Now, Detective Hughes claims Constable Gray was behaving in an erratic manner, which he took to be alcohol-induced.
Time's running out, and we can't find Jolene.
Right.
We can't find her.
She'll turn up.
Strikes me that Hughes' story is no less credible simply because the source of her intoxication was drug-related. Unless we can establish...
That he had access to the drug?
Exactly.
Last year, Hughes was involved in a joint operation with narcotics. They knocked over a lab that had been turning out roofies like there was no tomorrow. 10,000 tabs.
You're collecting that much evidence. A couple of hundred pills can slip into your pocket real easy.
Yeah, you could steal evidence. You could buy some roofies in front of the Robarts Library between Soch and Psych 100.
An interesting theory. I understand this drug is readily available on the street.
Yeah, that's true. R2 goes for about $4 a hit, anywhere.
R2?
Roofies. Another street name.
He knows too much about this drug for it to be healthy.
Hey, the kid's ambitious. You gotta keep current.
McPhee, where in hell are you, Gray? Yeah, here he is. It's for you.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing your theories with us, Constable.
Jolene, where are you?
At least we've established...
Okay, look, I need you to get to the nearest clinic and get a drug test done.
Murky.
Rohypnol? You did?
It's called the date rape drug.
Okay, you're a step ahead.
I'll look into it.
What is wrong with you, lady?
Uh-huh.
I'm practically giving you your case on a silver platter, and you say, I'll look into it?
So how'd you figure that out?
Well, it is my case.
Yeah.
Deal with it as I see
it. It makes sense.
So, if you don't mind...
This girl is a friend of mine, and this guy... If he pulled this once and gets away with it, eventually he will try again.
Thank you, officer. That is all I need to hear. Now, if you will excuse me.
Incoming at 6:00.
What in hell is going on in this division?
Okay, gotcha. Have to go.
Thanks. You! I figured. I told you not to interfere in this investigation.
Now, detective...
Actually, Malcolm put it all together by himself. I just encouraged him to share.
And I suppose you've been tampering with my other witnesses as well.
Kirk, that was Jolene on the phone. She got the drug test this afternoon. She was definitely on Rohypnol.
So what?
It's a fairly significant bit of evidence.
Fine, but it's not enough to make a case against Hughes.
By the way, did you ask him about his clothes?
He sent them to the dry cleaner.
Oh, too bad.
Yeah, it's a pity. What were you and Constable Gray talking about just now, other than drug tests?
Jolene didn't wash her stuff, you know. Charlie has some theories there as well.
Does he?
More a question of fact, not theory. Hughes said he fell on his back, she kicked at him, and he flipped her onto the grass. The way her jacket and pants are stained suggests she was the one put down on her back.
If the woman was wrecked on downers, it's just possible she did some very creative rolling around after Larry left the scene.
Yeah, everything's possible. And as you and Hughes are both so fond of pointing out, he's a senior officer and she's a rookie. But she's a real smart rookie and hasn't been wasting her time this weekend, you know?
No, I don't know.
What did she say, Charlie?
Okay. You gotta figure some guy like Hughes, he didn't all of a sudden turn 49 and start assaulting women. That's not the way it goes, eh?
Not in my experience, no.
So while Frida here spent Sunday baking a ham or watching the Argos, Jolene started digging into Hugh's past.
She has no right...
Spare us, detective. What did she find?
A series of complaints from when he worked Vice. Hookers, though. You know how that goes.
Yeah, you're up on charges. The first thing you do is claim the cop tried to dry hump you in the back of the paddy wagon. Sometimes it works.
Mostly it doesn't.
Because mostly they're lying. But sometimes they're telling the truth. So Jolene kept asking around. A couple of guys said there'd been some stories. Nothing substantial, nobody making charges, but Larry definitely had a rep.
What kind of a rep?
There was a conference last year in the Muskokas.
A conference in the Muskokas?
Yeah, apparently on the last night there was a party. The usual thing, but it got pretty wild. The word is, one female officer spent the better part of the night with Larry, and something happened.
This is ridiculous. You can't use... second-hand stories about things that may or may not have happened, especially at a conference.
She's right about the hearsay, Charlie.
Not if we could find the woman and get her to tell the court what happened that night. If we could do that, we could establish a pattern, and then it's not a question of who you believe anymore, is it? And we can put this creep away.
The defense will ask her why she didn't come forward when it happened. And what will she say?
I don't know. What would you say in her position? You wake up in the morning, your body's covered with bruises, you're sore inside and out, and You know, something awful happened. But you don't know what.
Don't.
Then you get fragments, like little shards of glass stabbing into you. Awful things.
Please.
Things you can't believe are true. But as time goes by, you know they're true. And there's some talk. And if you admit it, even to yourself, if you let that happen, it's all over. That's what you think, isn't it?
You have no idea how hard it is for a woman, how hard it is to get anywhere in this service.
I think I do. I've watched Jolene go through it, and she's just starting out. But she came forward.
She's a fool. They'll never forget none of them.
Ah, that's the real terror, isn't it? Everybody knowing what he did. That would never go away.
She's crazy to pursue it. I was trying to show her what it would be like.
Sure, it was for her own good. But the other thing was there, wasn't it? Just under your skin, where it always is. The fear. If Hughes went to trial...
You're the woman, aren't you?
If he went to trial, it would all come out. I know it would. And it would all come out that I didn't turn him in. And... So it happened again. God knows how many times it happened again.
Yeah.
But this time you'll testify, won't you?
Yes. I have no choice.
You have been listening to The Interrogator, this week's episode of our series, The Old Guy, by Paul Ledoux. Featured in the cast tonight, Robert Haley as Charlie McMahon, William Colgate as Kirk, Ryan Rogerson as Malcolm, Karen Glaive as Jolene. With them, you also heard Fern Downey as Freda Thompson and John Jarvis as Larry Hughes. The music was composed and conducted by Milan Kimlicka. The recording engineer was Wayne Richards. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott. Colleen Woods was the associate producer. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. The program was produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell, the executive producer of The Mystery Project. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. See you next week.